In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, remember, we are in our eighth day, the eighth day of our Novena of Divine Mercy, and at the conclusion of Mass, we will pray the prayers for the eighth day of this Novena, which is all about immersing the souls that are in purgatory in God's Divine Mercy. Now, we see our Lord's Divine Mercy again poured out for us here in this eighth day of the Novena, this Friday within the octave of Easter. We see that John records that Peter has a little bit of things that he needs to work out to process exactly what's going on with this whole resurrection of the Lord. And so what does he do? To process everything, he goes back to work. Goes back to something that he knew before. What the fathers of the church point out in this action is that not all the disciples went back to the work that they did prior to them following Christ. Because not all of them were doing honest work. Not all of them were doing good work. Peter goes back to fishing. We don't see Matthew going back to collecting taxes. So we see here that there are certain employments that one can be engaged in even when they are about doing the good works which God has called them to do as those transformed by the resurrection, which are positive, and others which are entirely negative and could not be gone back to. St. Peter goes back to this particular employment of his life. Here we see that he gathers those who are around him. They go out and go fishing, and on the shore they, like always, fail to catch anything. This is emblematic of the entire life of Peter and of natural man, that on his own, within the scriptures, you never see him once being able to catch any fish. But rather, it is only by God's grace, by Christ being with him, that he's able to catch anything at all. But when Christ says the word, he hauls in more than can be even contained within the ship. Recall the first time when Peter and the Lord had a moment together. Do you remember what happened there? It was Peter and the Lord. Peter just happened to be fishing out there. He had caught nothing all night. And our Lord, because of the great crowd pressing upon him, asked if he could be put inside the boat. And so Peter does. He moves him back away so that he could preach all the more to the people who were pressing in upon him on the shore and have a platform to be able to use the sea, as it were, as an amphitheater to gather the people together. And at the end of his sermon, our Lord turns to him and does a miraculous catch for him, which almost breaks the boat. And seeing what happens there, Peter looks down and does something you'll see him do at the end of this, the continuation of this gospel passage, which is here. He looked down and he says, "Lord, depart from me because I'm a sinful man." He says to him, "Lord, if you knew, you really wouldn't want to have anything to do with me." And what does our Lord do? He looks down upon him and with compassion touches his shoulder and raises up his gaze and says, "From this day forward, you'll be a fisher of men." And so it is here, returning back to that former employment, we see that Peter doubts maybe that he has what it takes. He remembers that he is a sinful man. And so he goes back to what formerly he thought was something that he could rely upon. And our Lord again pursues him even to the shore. Even to the shore to be able to find him and to remind him that his vocation is something different than what he's going for. You and I can see something within this for our own selves and our own lives. That oftentimes when we go to moments of uncertainty, when we go to moments of difficulty, we go out upon the sea. The sea is something which the scriptures and the ancient people would always see as something which is a representation of chaos. Because it's so quickly that a calm, peaceful, placid lake can turn into something which is great in violence. And even can claim the lives of the sailors who were there, which is something that would have been well known and well experienced in the life there on the Sea of Galilee for those of you who have been upon it. Great swells which could come up in but an instant, fierce and dangerous as they can be. Where our Lord remains upon the shore, which is to say that he remains upon solid ground, remains there upon that which is the solid ground on which our lives are to be built, and calls us back to himself, to come onto the shore and to there have sup with him, to consume with him, to eat with him. Our Lord desires us not to go back into the waters of chaos which exist within the world, within our lives, back to those things which we formerly have done, but our vocation is always to be there with our Lord upon the solid ground. And so he invites us to eat with him. Where does our Lord get the fish? Where does our Lord get the bread? Our Lord gets those things because he's able to provide from his own self sustenance which we need. We think that we have to provide for ourselves in so many ways, and that's why we go out into the things that we're comfortable with, go back out into the lake to bring in something which is a great miraculous catch, to do something of our own. But in reality, what the faith calls you and I to do is to have total reliance upon God and let him be the one who feeds us. The Lord can provide for every single one of our needs if we just put our trust in Him. He asks us to come by a charcoal fire, to sit there and to eat the very things which He provides, which is what He does for us here at Holy Mass. It's super substantial bread, which is the bread that doesn't end in this life, but actually a bread which promises a life which leads to eternal life. We won't get to it today, nor will we have the opportunity to explore it tomorrow. So what happens immediately after this? Our Lord pulls Peter aside. And he has that intimate conversation because there are things which Peter and our Lord have not yet worked out yet. And our Lord knows that if Peter is ever to be the man that he's called him to be the rock upon which his church will be built, Peter can't remain without working out these particular things with the Lord. He has to talk about them with him, to have that dialogue, to move through those struggles of that last time when Peter and the Lord had an intimate gaze with one another. And so our Lord asks him those three times, will you agape love me? Will you give yourself totally to me? Will you give yourself totally to me? And Peter responds, Lord, you know that I just love you like a friend. You know that my love to this point hasn't measured up to what you're asking of me. The Lord says to him those two times, feed my sheep, then to feed my lambs. And the last time the Lord comes down to his level and says, well, will you at least love me like a friend? And Peter, broken that our Lord comes down to his level of love, says, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that's all that I have. And he says to him again, that's enough. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And so it is. Our Lord will call you and I to something which is greater. And the demand of God's great gift is indeed so much greater than what you and I could ask for or imagine or even be able to accomplish on our own. But yet our Lord suffices it to say, where you're at in your love for me, that's enough for now. And even with that little bit of love you're able to give, that will be enough to feed my lambs, to tend my sheep, the ones who I'm entrusting to you. If you just do that. Our former Archbishop Michael Jarmoschian used to say to us as seminarians all the time, and something which you and I can gain from as well if you take it to heart. He would turn to us and say, men, just give yourselves to the Lord Jesus the best that you can, and He will take care of you. He said, give yourselves to the Lord Jesus the best that you can, and He will take care of you. He'd go on and on to describe the ways in which financially He'll take care of you physically. He'll take care of you emotionally. He'll obviously take care of you spiritually. He'll take care of you in your relationships. He'll take care of you sexually. He'll take care of you in every way you can ask for or even imagine, in the ways in which you might not even dare to ask for or even to imagine because of the wounds that have taken place within your life. But he said, if you just give yourself to the Lord, or you can say, taking from our passage today of St. Peter, if you just love the Lord Jesus the best that you're able to right now, the Lord indeed will take care of you in the ways which are far and excelling beyond. These are the ways in which our Lord desires to work in mercy in your life and in mine. And so let's take that to the Lord as we enter into these sacred mysteries where He does call us beside His own charcoal fire, where He's already prepared the meal that is super substantial for you and I, which is here at the Eucharist. And if in this Eucharist you give yourself to the Lord, even just the best that you can, it doesn't matter what trials or difficulties or questions or hardships or needs that you may have within your life, if you just do that, trusting the words of Michael Jarmoschian, our former Archbishop, He will take care of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.